Who gives this woman to this man?
Her mother and I.
Dear friends, we welcome you to the marriage ceremony of Luke and Holly. We'll begin this service by reading the liturgical form, which is written for that purpose. And you can find this in the back of your Psalter on page 156. This is the liturgical form for the purpose of the confirmation of marriage, which reads as follows. Whereas married persons are generally, by reason of sin, subject to many troubles and afflictions, to the end that you, Luke Daniel Barnard, and Holly Ann Marcoux, who desire to have your marriage bond publicly confirmed here in the name of God before this church, may also be assured in your hearts of the certain assistance of God in your afflictions. Hear, therefore, from the word of God, how honorable the marriage state is, and that it is an institution of God which is pleasing to him. Wherefore he also will, as he has promised, bless and assist the married persons, and on the contrary judge and punish whoremongers and adulterers. In the first place, you are to know that God our Father, after he had created heaven and earth and all that in them is, made man in his own image and likeness, that he should have dominion over the beasts of the field, over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air. And after he had created man, he said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help, meet for him." And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Therefore you are not to doubt, but that the married state is pleasing to the Lord, since he made unto Adam his wife, brought and gave her himself to him to be his wife, witnessing thereby that he does yet, as with his hand, bring unto every man his wife. For this reason the Lord Jesus Christ did also highly honor it with his presence, gifts, and miracles in Cana of Galilee, to show thereby that this holy state ought to be kept honorably by all, and that he will aid and protect married persons even when they are least deserving it. But that you may live godly in this state, you must know the reasons wherefore God has instituted the same. And the first reason is that each faithfully assist the other in all things that belong to this life and a better. Secondly, that you bring up the children which the Lord shall give them in the true knowledge and fear of God to his glory and their salvation. Thirdly, that each of them, avoiding all uncleanness and evil lusts, may live with a good and quiet conscience. For to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman her own husband. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And insomuch that all who are come to their years and have not the gift of continence are bound by the command of God to enter into the marriage state, with knowledge and consent of parents or guardians and friends, so that the temple of God, which is our body, may not be defiled. For whosoever defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. 1 Corinthians 3. Next, you are to know how each is bound to behave respectively toward the other, according to the word of God. First, you who are the bridegroom must know that God has set you to be the head of your wife, that you, according to your ability, shall lead her with discretion, instructing, comforting, protecting her, as the head rules the body. Yea, as Christ is the head, wisdom, consolation, and assistance to his church. Besides, you are to love your wife as your own body, as Christ has loved his church. You shall not be bitter against her, but dwell with her as a man of understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, considering that ye are joint heirs of the grace of life, and that your prayers be not hindered. And since it is God's command that the man shall eat his bread in the sweat of his face, Genesis 3:19, therefore you are to labor diligently and faithfully in the calling wherein God has set you, that you may maintain your household honestly, and likewise have something to give to the poor. In like manner must you, who are the bride, know how you are to carry yourself towards your husband according to the word of God. You are to love your lawful husband, to honor and fear him, as also to be obedient unto him in all lawful things, as to your Lord. As the body is obedient to the head, and the church to Christ, you shall not exercise any dominion over your husband, but be silent. For Adam was first created, and then Eve, to be a help to Adam. And after the fall, God said to Eve, and in her to all women, your will shall be subject to your husband. You shall not resist this ordinance of God, but be obedient to the word of God, and follow the examples of godly women who trusted in God and were subject to their husbands, as Sarah was obedient to Abraham, calling him her Lord. You shall also be a help to your husband in all good and lawful things, looking to your family and walking in all honesty and virtue without worldly pride, that you may give an example to others of modesty. I now ask Pastor Igo to come forward and to administer the vows of marriage to Holly and Luke.
Thank you. Luke and Holly, now that you understand that God has instituted marriage and what he commands of you, are you willing to conduct yourselves accordingly in this holy estate? And do you now so confess it before this Christian assembly? Do you?
Yes.
I take all who are here as witnesses, see no lawful impediment to this marriage. Amen. Luke and Holly, it is fitting that you be furthered in your marriage endeavor and that God confirm your purpose in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Please join your hands together and face one another. Luke, do you acknowledge here before God and this his holy church that you have taken and do take to your lawful wife, Holly, here present, promising her never to forsake her, to love her faithfully, to maintain her, as a faithful and pious husband is bound to do to his lawful wife, that you will live holily with her, keeping faith and truth to her in all things according to the holy gospel. Do you?
I do.
Holly, do you acknowledge here before God and this his holy church that you have taken and do take to your lawful husband, Luke, here present, promising to be obedient to him, to serve and assist him, never to forsake him, to live holily with him, keeping faith and truth to him in all things, as a pious and faithful wife is bound to her lawful husband according to the holy gospel. Do you?
I do.
Amen. The Father of all mercies, who of his grace has called you to his holy estate of marriage, bind you in true love and faithfulness and grant you his blessing. Amen. Luke, what symbol do you give as a pledge that you will faithfully perform these vows? please place on her ring finger and repeat after me. This ring I give you.
This ring I give you.
As a token and pledge.
As a token and pledge.
Of constant faith.
Of constant faith.
And abiding love.
And abiding love.
Holly, what symbol do you give as a pledge that you will faithfully perform these vows? Please place it upon his ring finger and repeat after me. This ring I give you.
This ring I give you.
As a token and pledge.
As a token and pledge.
Of constant faith.
Of constant faith.
And abiding love.
And abiding love.
You may now seal your commitment with a kiss.
We'll continue now by singing All Things Bright and Beautiful. You'll find the words for this in your program. God comes to us this evening from Joshua chapter 22. Joshua in chapter 22, where we read, Joshua 22 and verse 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Now to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh Moses had given possession in Bashan, but unto the other half thereof gave Joshua among their brethren on this side Jordan, westward. And when Joshua sent them away also unto their tents, then he blessed them. And he spake unto them, saying, Return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver, and with gold, and with brass, and with iron, and with very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. And the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned, and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go unto the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, Behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben and to the children of Gad and to the half-tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 princes, of each chief house a prince throughout all the tribes of Israel. And each one was an head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. And they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead. And they spoke with them, saying, Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, What trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day? Although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord, but that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord, and it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us. But rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us, in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? And that man perished not alone in his iniquity. Then the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered, and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know. If it be in rebellion, or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt offering or meat offering, or if to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, In time to come your children might speak unto our children, saying, What have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us. And you, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad, ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, Let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. Therefore said we that it shall be, when they should so say to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, behold, the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord, and turn this day from following the Lord, to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices, beside the altar of the Lord our God that is before his tabernacle. And when Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregation and heads of the thousands of Israel which were with him heard the words that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest said unto the children of Reuben and to the children of Gad and to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because you have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest and the princes returned from the children of Reuben and from the children of Gad out of the land of Gilead and to the land of Canaan to the children of Israel and brought them word again. And the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go up against them in battle to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, or in the Hebrew that would be witness. The word Ed there means witness in Hebrew. For it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. Well, there is an interesting story to think about at the beginning of your married life, Luke and Holly. And it has many lessons for us. We are a forgetful people. And in this passage, we see both a forgetting and a remembering. Maybe I should say a potential for forgetting. A potential for forgetting. The situation here is you have these three tribes, which when the Israelites entered the land of Canaan, they conquered those eastern nations, those eastern tribes, and took control of that land. But Moses had told them, you may not now park here and camp here and start living here. You need to come over to the western side of the Jordan, and you need to help those tribes conquer their lands as well. This the three tribes had done, and now Joshua is telling them at the beginning of this chapter, you've done a good job. Thank you very much. You may now return to your inheritance, to your possession on the eastern side of the Jordan. But you know, comes a separation then, doesn't there? Because the eastern side of the Jordan and the western side of the Jordan, not only is the Jordan River there, but there's quite a geographical separation there because the Jordan River Valley is rather significant. And so I think you hear in Joshua's language here that he has a bit of anxiety, which I think probably some others here are experiencing now as well. All right? And you hear that in verse 5. In verse 5. Where Joshua says, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And I think back of those words, you can sense a touch of anxiety, can't you, in Joshua? Because he sees those two tribes and the half-tribe of Manasseh going to the eastern side of the Jordan. And he begins to think, will they stay true to the Lord, the covenant God? And he has a bit of anxiety about that. And that's why he cautions them rather firmly to stay true to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So there's that potential there for forgetting. But then you have these two tribes, two and a half tribes, going back to the eastern side of the Jordan, and they too recognize that there's this now potential for forgetting the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. And they take steps to prevent that. Now, I think we can say it wasn't a very wise step. It was a bit of a clumsy move, I think, on their part. But what they did was, when they got back to the other side of Jordan, they built this very large altar. Now, that's a problem, as you see, because immediately the rest of the 10 tribes on the western side of the Jordan get their weapons out, and they're going ready to go to war. Because God had expressly forbidden the Israelites to make any other city a center for Israelite worship than Shiloh. And later, after Jerusalem was conquered, it became Jerusalem. But the tabernacle at this time was in Shiloh. And all sacrifices and all religious acts of worship had to take place at Shiloh. And the Israelites immediately understood that now these tribes on the western side of the Jordan, sorry, on the eastern side of the Jordan, are now going to start offering sacrifices on their own altar. And hence, they immediately prepare for war. You can see how seriously they took that. But these tribes immediately want to clear up this misunderstanding. And so you read that in Joshua, where they insist that this altar was not built for sacrificing. It was not built for acts of worship. Instead, it was built as a witness, as a reminder, to remind not only them that they belonged to the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, but especially to remind the tribes on the western side that yes, even though there's this Jordan River between us, even though there's this geographic valley between us, that does not mean that we are now separated from you as a people. We belong to Abraham, to the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, just as you do. And so there's that altar that they built. And once that's cleared up, of course, the delegation that goes to them is happy to return with joy. So there's the situation. There's the situation that you have in this story. And I think the lessons here are pretty clear for you as a couple. That as you go forth into your married life, there comes that separation, isn't there, between you and your parents. Of course, it's not a final permanent separation, but there is that separation there. And that does cause some anxiety. And it causes anxiety precisely because we are forgetful people. And the pressures of life can come down upon us in such a way, especially when family, children, and all the different pressures that come down upon us, and slowly, imperceptibly, we begin to forget God. We begin to forget that we belong, that we are in covenant with the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And so the question for you then, in the first place, for Luke and Holly then, and friends who are gathered with us, we all can take this question to heart now. What is that Jordan River that separates you, or that could be a potential to cause you to drift away from God? I think that that has to be intentional in your life, that you look for that one thing. And you know, I can list some things right now. I don't know what that may be. But certainly we live in very prosperous times. And prosperity itself can be a problem. You see that even in the life of Israel, right? When they became prosperous, they often drifted away from God. The whole history of Israel, really, is a history of this question in action. And so I want you to be aware, not only today, but next week, next year, and many years from now. Watch for those Jordans, because you can be sure that the day, the moment you step out of this church as a newly married couple, Satan begins his work. He begins his work to come in between you. He begins his work, his devious, devilish work, to separate you from the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. So that's the first thing, that question. What is that Jordan River? Find it and kill it. Find it and kill it. Now, we need reminders in the second place. We need a reminder. Now, the beautiful thing about this ceremony is that so much of it is calculated to be a reminder, because very likely you'll never experience this again. Holly, you're never going to put on a dress like that again, more than likely, right? Kristen is here taking pictures, right? These are things that are going to be remembered over and over again. And so this can be like that altar. This very ceremony right here can be a reminder to us that you belong to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it can be reminder to you, a spur to you, to renew that commitment to the God of your fathers and to remember. So, just as I asked you that question in the first point, I can ask you this question now in the second point. What is that altar? This ceremony can serve as that altar, but there are other things too that will serve as an altar. But tonight I want to just note the fact that these tribes built an altar. And that's very significant for us this evening. Because an altar in Israelite worship was full of blood. There was a sacrifice. There was an animal cut to pieces on that altar. And that altar points, and that sacrifice points to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, I'd like to read this. In Hebrews 13, verse 10, the author writes, "We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat who serve at the tabernacle." We, as Christians, have an altar, and that's the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the cross of Jesus Christ. You don't need that around your neck. You don't need that in your home, a physical replica of it, but you need it by faith in your heart and in your soul. And that is the most powerful reminder and altar that you ever can have. To plant the cross of Jesus Christ in the center of your home. To put that at the center of your relationship, and to put that at the center of, should God provide you with children, at the center of all that you do as a family. That's what I hope would be that witness between you as a couple and all of us, that you serve the Lord and that you not drift away from that. So this second question then, what is your altar? This one I can answer for you, that it should be the cross of Jesus Christ. To remind you, you need an altar. Your children need an altar. We all need that altar. Dear friends, all of us in a married state need that altar, that cross of Christ, and we need to renew our commitment to it again and again. Because as I said in the first point, we slowly and imperceptibly drift away from it. Now, one last point before I close. And I can't help but notice in this chapter how concerned these eastern tribes were for their children, for their descendants. And of course, we think about that here too, because your children need an altar. And what a glorious privilege it is to lead your children as a father and as a mother to the cross of Christ. And to also call them to embrace it, to believe in it, to trust it as their only hope for salvation in this life and in the life to come. May it be with your family. May it never be with your family as it was with the children of Israel, where just a few chapters later we read in Judges chapter 2 and verse 7, "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua." And then they forgot. That's a sad title to put on a marriage. They served the Lord all the days of whatever, and then they forgot. So I call you as a married couple to be determined and resolved to stay true to the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And dear parents, I can also speak to you this evening. What a blessed privilege it is. What a blessed privilege it is to have your children standing here today. It's the greatest gift that God can give your children, of course, is salvation in Christ. But would you not agree that the second greatest gift is that they be married to a God-fearing spouse? And now you may experience that in this evening, and what a blessing that is, and how that should lead you before God in gratitude to thank Him for this wonderful gift. And I pray for the parents here and for the grandparents as well who are here, what a privilege it is to see the marriage of your grandchildren, but for everyone who is gathered with us, our congregation, that this ceremony would always bring to our minds the glorious wedding ceremony that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring one day when He comes down out of heaven for His bride. And this is a picture of that. And as we see one generation passing and another generation coming up, we should also be looking, longing, and even saying in our own hearts, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Well, with those words, I close. Let us stand and sing praise to the Lord Almighty. Praise to the Lord Almighty. Again, you'll find these words in your program. Hear now from the gospel how firm the bond of marriage is, as described in Matthew 19. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. And what therefore God has joined together, let not a man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement, and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away does commit adultery. Believe these words of Christ, and be certain and assured that your Lord God has joined you together in this holy state. You are therefore to receive whatever befalls you therein with patience and thanksgiving, as from the hand of God. And thus all things will turn to your advantage and salvation. Amen. Let us pray to God. Almighty God, thou who dost manifest thy goodness and wisdom in all thy works and ordinances, and from the beginning hast said that it is not good that man be alone, and therefore hast created him a help meet to be with him, and ordained that they who were two should be one, and who dost also punish all impurity, we pray thee, since thou hast called and united these two persons in the holy state of marriage, that thou wilt give them thy Holy Spirit, that so they in true love and firm faith may live holy according to thy divine will, and resist all evil. Wilt thou also bless them as thou hast blessed the believing fathers, thy friends and faithful servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in order that they, as co-heirs of the covenant which thou hast established with these fathers, may bring up their children, which thou wilt be pleased to give them in the fear of the Lord, to the honor of thy holy name, and to the edification of thy church, and to the extension of the holy gospel, hear us, Father of all mercy, for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son, our Lord, in whose name we conclude our prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hearken now to the promise of God from Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. The Lord our God replenish you with his grace, and grant that ye may long live together in all godliness and holiness. Amen. Dear friends, Luke and Holly will exit the sanctuary now. We do ask. Hold the Bible, yes. Before that, I will give the Bible. Thank you, Luke. The consistory gives you this Bible, Luke, as a testimony and as a witness, as we talked also this evening, that these pages contain the way to that altar that we spoke about, to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where you will learn about the cross of Christ, and this is what you will bring to Holly, and what both of you will bring to any children whom God may be pleased in his providence to give you. So receive this as a testimony of the love and commitment of the consistory to you and to your marriage. May God make you a lover of the Word of God. So again, Luke and Holly will exit the sanctuary. We ask that due to the conditions in which we find ourselves, that there be no shaking of hands or hugging. You can offer your congratulations there. And then if you would please, once you are, the ushers will come forward and usher you out. If you would go straight out those doors in the back and you can offer further congratulations to the wedding party there. It is my privilege, therefore, to present to you Mr. and Mrs. Luke Barnard. Thank you.
Thank you.